All right, so let's dive into this topic of the Thwaites Glacier in Antarctica.
Okay.
I know this is something you've wanted to unpack for a while.
Definitely.
And you sent over this 2017 scientific review.
Yeah.
It's titled How Much, How Fast?
It is.
Which, I mean, it even sounds like a thriller,
It
right?
does. It does.
But
Yeah.
it's all about understanding this massive glacier and what its future holds, especially when it comes to sea levels.
Right, and that's the key thing, right? I mean, everyone's worried about sea level rise, and this glacier is one of the biggest players in the game.
And what's wild is that the article says scientists are calling this the highest priority in all of Antarctic research.
It is, yeah. It's like the number one thing they want to figure out because it has such huge implications for the whole planet.
Wow. And you mentioned too that the review itself is pretty high level.
Oh yeah.
It was convened by the National Academies of Sciences, Engineering, and Medicine.
It was, yeah, so this is a very serious thing. They got together some of the top experts in the field to really try to grapple with this
So
problem.
no pressure on these
Oh,
researchers.
no pressure at all.
But the article highlights some pretty alarming changes happening at Thwaites.
Yeah.
It's already contributing to sea level rise, but its contribution has actually doubled since the mid-1990s.
Which is crazy. I mean, that's a huge jump in such a short amount of time.
Yeah, that's a massive jump.
Yeah, and it really underscores the urgency of the situation. You know, things are changing really rapidly down there.
And it's not just a slow and steady increase either.
Yeah.
Since 2009, the speed of the ice flow has really ramped up.
It has.
And Thwaites is losing mass faster than Pine Island Glacier, Totten Glacier, or even the entire Antarctic Peninsula.
It is, and that's something that really surprised me when I was reading this article. You know, you always hear about these other big glaciers like Pine Island and Totten,
Right.
but Thwaites is actually out chasing them all in terms of ice loss.
Okay, so things are moving quickly, but
Yeah.
what does that look like?
Yeah.
In real terms, is there a way to visualize how much this glacier is changing?
Well, picture this. Between 2011 and 2014, the glacier's surface lowered by 1.5 to 2 meters each year.
Wow.
That's like an average person's height
Amazing.
disappearing annually.
That's a pretty stark image.
It is. It's a lot of ice.
So, what's causing this dramatic change?
Right.
The article points to this concept called marine ice sheet instability.
Yeah.
Break that down for me and for all of us listening,
Okay.
like we're back in high school science class.
So imagine a glacier that's grounded below sea level and thickening inland, just like Thwaites.
Okay.
Now picture warm ocean currents creeping in and melting that glacier from underneath.
Yeah.
As it thins, the point where the glacier meets the bedrock, which is called the grounding line, retreats further inland.
Okay.
And this sets off a chain reaction, almost like a positive feedback loop, where more thinning leads to more retreat, and that makes the ice flow even faster into the ocean.
So, if warmer ocean water is the culprit, how is that happening?
Yeah.
Is it simply global warming or is something else going on?
It's a bit of both. But there's a specific type of warm, deep ocean water called circumpolar deep water that's upwelling onto the continental shelf. And this water then flows toward the glacier,
Yeah.
guided by these channels on the seabed,
Oh, wow.
and melts it from below.
So it's almost like a sneak attack on the glacier's weak spot.
Yeah, you could say that. It's like the ocean is finding a way to get in there and do the most damage.
But here's where it gets even more interesting. The article says these changes in ocean currents are actually linked to shifts in wind patterns.
Yeah.
And get this, those wind patterns can be influenced by changes happening far away in the
I
tropics.
know, right? It's crazy to think about.
So you're saying that weather patterns in the tropics could be affecting a glacier in Antarctica?
That's what the research suggests.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it really highlights how interconnected our planet is. You know, everything is linked in ways we don't always realize.
Absolutely.
The article specifically mentions the Southern Annular Mode and the Amundsen Seelow as key players in this story.
Okay, I need a little refresher on those.
Yeah.
What are they exactly, and how do they influence what's happening at Thwaites?
So think of the Southern Annular Mode as a belt of westerly winds circling Antarctica.
Okay.
Changes in its strength or position can impact how much of that warm circumpolar deep water reaches the continent.
So it's kind of like a gatekeeper for the warm water.
You could think of it that way, yeah.
And the Amundsen Seelow.
That's a persistent area of low atmospheric pressure sitting right over the Amundsen Sea, and it acts like a giant fan, driving winds that push warm air toward the glacier and also affect those crucial ocean currents.
So both of these weather patterns are essentially helping to deliver warmer water and air towards Thwaites.
They are.
Accelerating the melting.
That's right. And understanding how these large-scale atmospheric patterns are changing.
Is crucial for figuring out what's going to happen to Thwaites in the future.
But it sounds like predicting the future of Thwaites might be pretty complicated.
It is, yeah.
I mean, we're already seeing faster ice loss than predicted.
Right.
And the article suggests things could get even worse because of processes like hydrofracture and ice cliff failure.
Yeah, those are
two big wild cards in this whole equation.
Yeah. And why are they so concerning?
Well, so think of hydrofracture like this. You have surface melt water. And yes, even in Antarctica, there's surface melt water filling cracks in the glacier.
Okay.
This water acts like a wedge, causing those cracks to spread downwards.
Oh, wow.
And potentially breaking apart the ice shelves that helps stabilize the glacier.
So that's like a slow, steady process of weakening the glacier from within.
Yeah, it's like it's slowly being eaten away from the inside out.
And what about ice cliff failure?
Oh, that's a dramatic one.
Okay.
Imagine a massive chunk of ice, hundreds of meters high, just breaking off the glacier front and collapsing into the ocean.
Wow.
It's a terrifying thought.
Yeah.
And it would dramatically accelerate the rate of ice loss.
That's a pretty scary scenario.
It is.
And from what I'm gathering, these processes could unfold relatively quickly, right?
Right.
We're talking decades, not centuries.
Yeah. And that's the unsettling part.
Mm-hmm.
Current models don't fully account for these processes.
Okay.
So our projections might be underestimating how fast things could change.
That's definitely something to consider as we continue this deep dive.
It is.
So where do we go from here?
Yeah.
What are the researchers doing to fill in these knowledge gaps?
Right.
And get a clearer picture of what's happening?
So thankfully, the scientific community is tackling this head on. There's a joint US-UK research program brilliantly titled, How Much, How Fast?
Of course it is.
It aims to address these knowledge gaps and help us better understand the future of Thwaites.
So they're going straight to the source of the problem.
They are, yeah. They're sending teams of scientists down there to do all sorts of research, from mapping the seabed to drilling into the ice.
What specific information are they trying to gather?
Well, one of the big things is they're focusing on creating much more detailed maps of both the glacier itself and the seabed below.
Okay.
They also want to understand the environment beneath the glacier and how water flows through it.
So it's like they need to get under the hood of the glacier.
Exactly.
And really understand its inner workings.
Yeah, it's like trying to figure out the plumbing of a giant moving ice machine.
And crucially, they're trying to figure out how to better represent these alarming processes like ice cliff failure in their models.
That's right.
So basically, they're trying to get a complete picture of what's happening.
Yeah.
From the bedrock to the ice surface and everything in between.
They are. And it's a huge undertaking.
Yeah.
But the information they gather will be invaluable for helping us understand the future of this incredibly important glacier.
It's a relief to know that these efforts are underway. But it's a little daunting to think we're still just scratching the surface of what's happening at Thwaites.
It is. It's a bit humbling to realize how much we still don't know about this massive, complex system.
But that's the beauty of science.
Exactly.
It's all about discovery and pushing the boundaries of knowledge.
It is. And in this case, those discoveries could have profound implications for the future of our planet.
Absolutely. So we'll definitely be keeping a close eye on the research coming out of the How Much, How Fast program.
I agree. It's definitely one to watch.
All right. So let's move on to some of the other fascinating aspects of the Thwaites Glacier that this article highlights.
Okay, sounds good. One of the areas where researchers are focusing is the grounding zone, that critical point where the glacier meets the bedrock.
Right.
It's like a tug of war between the ice pushing out to sea and the ocean melting it from below.
The article you sent in mentions this grounding zone as being super important.
It is.
And it even talks about ocean-driven melting, sedimentation, tidal effects, and these things called pinning points.
Right.
All happening down there.
Yeah, it's a very dynamic place.
Can we unpack those a little more?
Absolutely. So we've talked about the warm ocean currents melting the glacier from below.
Right.
But it's not as simple as just warmer water equals faster melting.
Okay.
The shape of the seabed plays a big role.
Mm-hmm.
Deep channels, for example, can act like funnels.
Oh, wow.
Directing that warmer water right towards the grounding zone.
Okay.
And speeding up the melting.
So the ocean is basically carving out a path for itself to attack the glacier.
In a way, yes. It's like it's finding the weak spots and exploiting them.
But there are some natural processes that can actually work in the glacier's favor. at least temporarily.
Right.
Like sedimentation.
Exactly.
For instance.
Yeah.
Can create a kind of protective barrier.
It can. So as the glacier retreats, it leaves behind a trail of sediment.
Mm-hmm.
And that can build up and slow down further retreat.
So it's not all doom and gloom.
Not necessarily, no.
There's some push and pull happening down there.
There is, yeah. It's a very dynamic system.
What about those tidal effects the article mentions?
Right.
How do they fit into this tug of war?
So tides are interesting because they can add an element of unpredictability.
Nope.
They cause the glacier to flex up and down.
Oh, wow.
Which can weaken it and make it more likely to fracture.
Mm-hmm.
Tides can also influence how water flows beneath the glacier.
Okay.
Making the whole system even more complex.
Like the tides are constantly shaking things up.
They are.
And adding another layer of complexity to the equation.
Exactly. And then we have these things called pinning points.
Right.
They're like little bumps on the seabed.
Okay.
Elevated areas of bedrock that can temporarily hold the grounding line in place, even as the glacier thins.
So the glacier is clinging to these pinning points.
It is, yeah.
But what happens if they give way?
Well, that's when things could really take a turn.
Oh.
Losing a pinning point can lead to a sudden jump in the grounding line's retreat.
Yeah.
Potentially triggering a cascade of instability.
It sounds like we need a really good map of the seabed to figure out where those pinning points are.
We do.
And how they might be changing.
Absolutely. Detailed maps of the seabed are crucial for understanding how these grounding zone dynamics are playing out.
And speaking of interactions, we can't forget about what's happening at the ice front where the glacier meets the ocean.
Right, right.
The article talks about the importance of ice-ocean interactions at both the ice front and the grounding line.
Mm-hmm.
Why are those interactions so critical?
Well, the ocean is this massive reservoir of heat.
Okay.
And even small changes in ocean temperature or how the water circulates
yeah.
can have a big impact on how quickly the ice melts.
I remember the article mentioning something called melt plume formation.
Oh, yeah.
Can you refresh my memory on what that is?
Yeah.
And how it affects the glacier?
So imagine warm ocean water melting the glacier from below.
Okay.
This creates plumes of buoyant, less salty water
mm-hmm.
that rise up towards the surface.
These plumes can carry away heat, which further enhances melting.
Oh, wow.
They can also affect how the ocean circulates, creating feedback loops that can further destabilize the glacier.
So it's a vicious cycle of melting leading to plumes.
Right.
Which then lead to more melting.
Precisely. And to make matters even more complex,
yeah.
these plumes can interact with the shape of the ice shelf and the seabed itself.
Wow.
Carving out channels that can funnel even more warm water towards the glacier.
It's like the glacier is contributing to its own demise by shaping the very environment that's melting it.
It is, yeah. It's a bit of a self-destructive cycle.
And then, of course, we have the potential for those dramatic ice cliff failures, which we touched on earlier.
Uh-huh.
Those towering walls of ice that could collapse into the ocean.
Yeah.
We talked about how visually terrifying that would be.
Mm-hmm.
But what makes those ice cliffs so unstable in the first place?
It all comes down to physics.
Oh.
The sheer weight of that ice creates enormous stresses.
Mm-hmm.
And those stresses can cause the ice to fracture.
Yeah.
And eventually collapse.
Okay.
As the glacier retreats and things, it exposes taller and taller ice cliffs,
yeah.
which makes them even more unstable.
So the faster the glacier retreats, the more likely it is to experience these catastrophic ice cliff failures.
That's right. It's like a runaway train.
But the tricky part is that we don't fully understand what triggers an ice cliff to become unstable.
Yeah, that's one of the big mysteries.
It likely depends on a number of factors.
It does.
Like the temperature of the ice itself.
Right.
Whether there are already cracks or crevasses.
Mm-hmm.
And how much support the ice cliff is getting from the surrounding ice shelf.
It's a very complex interplay of factors.
So there's still a lot of uncertainty about when and how these ice cliffs might fail.
There is. Yeah, we're still trying to figure out all the pieces of the puzzle.
But that's why researchers are working hard to study ice cliff dynamics in other parts of Antarctica and Greenland.
Right.
Hoping to gain insights that they can then apply to Thwaites.
Exactly. It's all about learning from other places to better understand what might happen here.
They're using all sorts of tools from satellite images to ground-based sensors to computer models to try and crack this code.
They are, yeah. It's a very multifaceted approach.
It sounds like they're pulling out all the stops to figure this out.
They are. There's a real sense of urgency.
Which is encouraging.
It is, yeah. It's good to know that people are taking this seriously.
So we've talked about the alarming changes happening at Thwaites,
mm-hmm.
the complex processes driving them.
Right.
And the uncertainties around those processes.
Yeah.
What are some of the key areas where the how much, how fast program is focusing its efforts.
So one of the biggest unknowns is what's happening beneath the glacier in the subglacial environment.
Okay.
They're working on mapping the bedrock topography in high resolution, studying the properties of the subglacial sediments, and trying to understand how water flows under the glacier.
It's like they need to get under the hood of the glacier and really understand its inner workings.
Exactly. It's like giving the glacier a full checkup.
And then there's the complex interplay between the glacier, the ocean, and the atmosphere.
Right.
We need more data on ocean temperatures, currents, and salinity.
Yeah.
As well as on atmospheric patterns.
Absolutely.
All of this is needed to build better models.
Right.
That can accurately represent these interactions.
That's the goal, to create models that can really capture the complexity of the system.
The article also mentioned improving how those models represent key processes.
Yeah.
What does that mean exactly?
So current ice sheet models are already incredibly complex.
Yeah.
But they still don't fully capture the nuances of processes like ice cliff failure.
Right.
Or hydrofracture.
Okay.
These are dynamic, unpredictable processes.
Right.
And finding ways to incorporate them into the models.
Yeah.
Is crucial for getting a more accurate picture of what might happen in the future.
So it's like trying to upgrade the software.
It is, yeah.
To handle these new, incredibly complex challenges.
Exactly. It's like we need to give the models a boost in processing power.
And that means collecting more data, refining our understanding of the physics involved.
Right.
And developing new algorithms that can simulate these processes more realistically.
Absolutely. It's a very active area of research.
It sounds like this research is incredibly challenging.
It is.
But also incredibly important.
It is, yeah.
But the potential payoff is huge.
It is.
If we can improve these models, we'll be in a much better position to predict the rate and extent of future sea level rise.
Exactly. And that information will be crucial for helping communities around the world prepare and adapt.
Which at the end of the day is what this research is all about.
Yeah.
Giving us the knowledge we need to make informed decisions.
Absolutely. It's not just about understanding the science for science's sake.
Right.
It's about providing actionable information.
Yeah.
That can help us protect our planet and the people who live on it.
Okay. Well, let's continue exploring some of the other things we can learn from this article about the Thwaites Glacier.
Sounds good. You know, it's amazing to think about all these forces we've talked about.
Yeah.
The ice, the ocean, the atmosphere.
Right.
But there's another piece of the puzzle.
Okay.
That we need to consider.
What's that?
The solid Earth itself.
Oh, wow. I hadn't really thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I just assumed the ground beneath the glacier was, well, just ground.
Right.
But you're saying it's not that simple?
Not at all. The Earth beneath the ice sheet plays a more active role than you might think.
Wow.
It can actually influence how the glacier responds to these changes we've been talking about.
So how does that work? What's going on down there that could affect something as massive as a glacier?
So one factor is geothermal heat flux.
Okay.
That's the amount of heat flowing up from the Earth's interior into the base of the glacier.
Mm-hmm.
In some areas, particularly where the crust is thinner or there's volcanic activity, this heat flux can be quite high, which means more melting at the glacier's base.
So it's almost like the Earth is giving the glacier a warm hug from below.
Oh.
Not exactly what the glacier needs right now.
Not at all. And that extra heat can definitely affect the glacier's flow and stability.
Okay.
Another important factor is what the ground beneath the glacier is actually made of.
Right.
The strength and thickness of the subglacial sediments, or till, can influence how easily the glacier slides over the bedrock.
So if there's a thicker layer of sediment, it's easier for the glacier to move.
Exactly. Oh. Think of it like trying to push a heavy box across a rough floor versus a smooth one.
Right.
It takes a lot more effort on the rough floor because of the friction.
Mm-hmm.
Same principle applies to glaciers.
Okay.
The smoother the surface beneath it, the less friction there is and the more easily it can flow.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
But how do scientists study these subglacial sediments? It's not like they can just dig a trench down there and take a look.
Right. That's where technology comes in.
Yeah.
They use things like ground-based radar and seismic surveys to basically see through the ice. These tools allow them to map the thickness and properties of the subglacial sediments.
It's incredible that we can use technology to peek beneath thousands of meters of ice and get a glimpse of what's happening down there.
It is. It's pretty remarkable what we can do these days.
And here's another fascinating thing to consider.
Okay.
The Earth's crust itself isn't static.
Right.
As the glacier melts and loses mass, the crust beneath it actually starts to rise.
It does. It's called isostatic rebound.
Hold on. So you're saying the Earth is rebounding as the weight of the glacier decreases.
That's right. It's a slow process.
Yeah.
But over time, this uplift can actually have a noticeable impact on the glacier's behavior.
That's mind-blowing. I would have never guessed that the Earth itself could be moving in response to the glacier melting. How does that affect things?
Well, as the crust rises, it can actually slow down the rate of the glacier's retreat.
Oh, wow.
It's like a built-in mechanism to counteract the melting forces.
So in a way, the Earth is trying to help the glacier stay put.
You could say that. It's a remarkable example of how all these different systems, the ice, the ocean, the atmosphere, and even the solid Earth are interconnected.
Right.
And constantly influencing each other.
Right.
To really understand what's going to happen to Thwaites, we need to consider all of these factors and how they interact.
It sounds like this research requires a whole team of experts from different fields. It's not just glaciologists, right?
Absolutely. It involves oceanographers, geologists, atmospheric scientists. It's a truly collaborative effort.
Wow.
And that's one of the things that makes this research so exciting. It's pushing the boundaries of our understanding of how our planet works as a whole.
And it's highlighting how interconnected everything is.
It is.
Changes in one part of the planet can have ripple effects in seemingly distant regions.
Absolutely. And that brings us back to the big picture, the potential consequences of Thwaites collapsing.
Right.
We've talked about sea level rise.
Yeah.
But what are some of the other global implications if that were to happen?
That's a crucial question. We know coastal communities would be directly impacted by rising sea levels.
Right.
But what about the rest of the world?
Well, the concern is that Thwaites could be a tipping point.
Oh.
Its collapse could trigger a much wider collapse across West Antarctica.
Wow.
Leading to even more significant sea level rise, potentially several meters over the next few centuries.
That's a lot.
It is. And that would have devastating consequences for coastal communities worldwide.
Yeah.
Displacing millions of people and causing trillions of dollars in damage.
It's a stark reminder of why this research is so urgent.
It is.
Understanding what's happening at Thwaites isn't just about scientific curiosity.
Right.
It's about helping us prepare for a future that could look very different from the present.
I completely agree. The knowledge we gain from studying Thwaites will be invaluable for informing global policy decisions, guiding infrastructure investments, and raising awareness about the very real threat of climate change.
Well, I think we've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive into the Thwaites Glacier.
We have.
It's been fascinating to learn about the complex processes at play and the incredible research being done to understand them.
It's been a pleasure talking about it.
Absolutely. It's clear that the fate of Thwaites is intricately linked to the fate of our planet.
It is. It's a very important piece of the puzzle.
Well, thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
My pleasure.
We encourage you to continue exploring this topic and consider what role you can play in addressing the challenges of a changing climate.
Absolutely.
Until next time, stay curious.